You are about to listen to South Shore Community Church's sermon preached on the 17th of May 2020. South Shore Community Church is located on the South Shore of Montreal. Pastor Jay's sermon this week is entitled, Caution, God at Work.
Well, here in Montreal, we're all very familiar with road construction signs. It's said that our four seasons are almost winter, winter, still winter, and construction. Of course, the construction signs remind us that work is going on all around us, and hopefully that things are getting better, but also that they're a reminder that we need to take note and be careful, adjust our plans, adjust our path, or we may put ourselves or even others in great danger. Well, just like those ubiquitous construction signs, God is at work all around us. But sometimes the signs aren't as obvious. God doesn't paint big orange signs and put them out for us to see visually. But he's still at work. And we, I believe, need to begin to look for those signs, particularly in times of discouragement. That's when we need to look and see God at work around us. And that's what can encourage us and build our faith. And so I believe it's actually risky for us to stop looking for what God is doing. And you know, sometimes this happens when we're first born again, when we first become a new Christian. We see God in everything. We see how he's changing us. We see how he's helping us in all sorts of little areas. And then maybe as we grow a little more mature in our faith, as we start to do some of the things that God would ask us to do a little more automatically, we kind of start to forget that he is the one who's still helping us to do all those things. And we don't see all the ways that he's at work. And over time, it can actually cause us to grow more distant from him because we don't have that kind of day-to-day relationship of acknowledging him, and we start taking him for granted. And sometimes we're so busy carrying on with the busyness of our lives that it's almost impossible for us to notice him, even if we had that in mind, if we were thinking that we should be seeing him, we should be looking for him. We're just too busy, we're frantic, we're running all over the place. And I think in this time when so much has been shut down, in a sense, while there may be a little bit more stress at times, there also is opportunities for us to relook at our life, to reduce some of that busyness, to say, hey, what's going on in our lives? Where are our priorities? And make adjustments. And that's why I think it's important for us to start looking for God at work in our lives. I think it's so important, especially for those of us who have kids, to teach them this as a practice in life as well. To say, you know, what is God doing today? How are things going? And to really talk about our spiritual lives and not just what's going on in the physical realm around us. Now, I know that as soon as I talk about, looking for what God is doing, what he's saying to us today, that sometimes when people say things like, well, God told me, or the Lord said this to me today, that it kind of sets off alarm bells in our mind, and we start to look at people and think maybe they're a little strange or weird when they talk about that. It sets off alarm bells for us. And yet, that's not always a bad thing. Sometimes when people are saying, you know, God told me this, or God says this, or the Lord, thus saith the Lord, sometimes they are people who are, well, for lack of a better word, maybe wing nuts, or people who aren't dealing with a full deck, or sometimes even people who are trying to manipulate others to do what they want them to do. And the Bible, of course, teaches us that we need to discern what God's will is, and it needs to line up with his word. But on the other hand, sometimes we become so suspicious of people saying those kinds of things that we actually miss when God is speaking. when God is at work among his people, and maybe even in our life individually. And maybe we stop expecting that God would speak to us because we've seen so many other people abuse that idea. And yet, I believe that the Bible teaches us that God is speaking and that God is acting today around us continuously. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit had filled all of those who gathered in the upper room, Peter said this. He says, "This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." And Peter goes on to describe the signs of the end times, many of which are still not fulfilled today. In other words, this prophecy started to be fulfilled in Peter's day, and it's continuing to be fulfilled even up to today. And so what Peter describes, this idea that your sons and daughters will prophesy, your older men will dream dreams, and God will speak to them through dreams, and young men will see visions, and even on my sons and daughters, all of that is for today. And we can expect that God will be at work through us, just like we see in the early days of the church in the book of Acts. And yet, when I say that, I know that that can lead to a feeling of frustration for us, because we feel like our spiritual lives and what's going on doesn't measure up to what we read in the book of Acts. It doesn't measure up to this prophecy from Joel. We're not always, dreaming dreams and seeing visions and hearing words that we share as prophecy. And of course, we do have to understand that those kind of supernatural, miraculous communications from God are not necessarily something that we experience every day. And even when we read Acts, we don't get the sense that every single day that was happening. Of course, when you write a story, you tell the most exciting parts, the most important parts. And so they speak about what God said in those moments, a lot in Acts. But there were those days in between. And of course, maybe even weeks and months. We know that the Apostle Paul had very discouraging times, where it says that he was despairing even of his life because things were so difficult. And so obviously he wasn't aware of all that God was doing in those moments. He wasn't necessarily hearing God speak in those moments. And so I don't want to discourage you when I talk about this. I don't want you to think, well, I'm missing it. There's something wrong with me. But at the same time, I do want to challenge us that God is at work. And if we haven't seen him or heard him in a long time, that this is something that we should be seeking, that we should be saying, God, I need to experience more of you. And I believe that when we seek God, that we find him, even on a daily basis. Maybe not in some sort of miraculous word that we would go tell others, but we sense that God is with us. We hear him through his word. We know that he's speaking to us out of his word and directing us in our prayer times and so many other ways. And it's that kind of relationship, that intimacy with God, that I believe he designed us for. That's why he wants us to live for him. That's why he wants to bring us to heaven someday, is so that we can have close relationship with him. And it doesn't just start in heaven someday. The Bible teaches us that it's for here too. And so if you're feeling like you're missing something today, don't allow it to discourage you, but do allow it to challenge you and to say, yes, I want to press in to God. I want to press in more to who he is and to what he would be wanting to do. I want to start to see him at work. I think that maybe one of the good things about this COVID-19 pandemic is that it's reminded us of all the things that we depend on, that we take for granted. And sometimes in the process of that, we realize that we've actually been depending or looking for our security in things that aren't really what God would have us depend on, because He wants us to depend on Him. And we have so many things to depend on here in North America. We're so rich compared to so many other parts of the world, and we have relatively good government and healthcare and all of those things. And we can compare on them instead of, we can depend on them instead of depending on God. And so we need to be reminded that we depend on God for everything, even for our next breath. And I believe that this time is a reminder. I believe that we needed God just as much 6 months ago, or a year ago, or 3 years ago, or whenever. We need God every day of our lives. But sometimes God sends circumstances into our lives that can help us to be reminded, that can kind of give us a checkup. And this is one of those times on a global scale. And I prayed earlier that it would be something that would remind people who don't even know Jesus, who aren't following Him, that they would turn to Him during this time. And that's a prayer that's on my heart. But I also pray for us as a church, that God would use this time to challenge us, to draw closer to Him, to experience Him, to be directed by Him. And that's why I think it's so important that we learn more about this. And over the next number of weeks, we're going to be starting a new series called Experiencing God. I believe that we need to experience God throughout this time. If we haven't been doing that, if we haven't had that kind of closeness, we need it now more than ever. But we need to continue it even after. We need to continue it for the rest of our lives. And so we're going to be doing a series based on a book, really, by Henry Blackaby called Experiencing God, Knowing and Doing the Will of God. And you can order that book on Amazon if you want. It's a great book. I would consider it a classic, and very biblically and theologically sound, and yet looking at how we can experience God. And in that book, there are seven main principles. And I'm not going to be digesting the book per se, but I'm going to be taking those seven principles, and Pastor Matt as well, in the weeks coming up. We're going to be looking at it, each one of these seven principles, in a different sermon. And today, the principle that we're looking at really is God is always at work around you. God is always at work around you. I believe that that is one of the first keys to experiencing God, to having this intimate relationship, is we have to recognize and believe that God is always at work around us. And if we believe that, then we need to start looking for it too. And whenever we want to learn how we should live, how we should practice our Christianity, I believe the best place to start is by looking at Jesus. We can look at other people in the Bible, but they weren't perfect. Jesus was perfect. He never sinned. He's our great example. He's far more than that. He's our Savior and Lord as well. But we always want to start there if we're questioning. And of course, we don't see everything that there is to know in Jesus' life, but there are so many things we can learn from Him. And I believe that we can learn so much about what our relationship with God should look like by looking at Jesus' relationship. I believe that was a huge part of why He came, was to show us what His relationship to the Father was like, and to call us into that kind of relationship. And in John chapter 5, verses 17 to 20, Jesus is facing persecution from Jewish leaders. And as He's defending Himself, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at His work to this very day, and I too am working." And John says, "For this reason, they tried all the more to kill Him." He was calling God His own Father, making Himself equal with God. And so, of course, they thought that was blasphemy. But John records that Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. So what can we learn from Jesus' life in John chapter 5 about experiencing God? Well, the first thing that I think we can understand from this scripture is something I've already said and is the principle. God is always at work. Jesus said, "My Father is always at work to this very day." Now, of course, we know from Genesis in creation that God created in 6 days and then it says he rested. And I think that Jesus is saying that though he rested from his creative work, he is always at work. He's continuing to do other things. He's in relationship to his creation. And Jesus, in a sense, also told them how he responded to this concept that God is always at work. He said his strategy was not for him to come up with the plan and then ask God to bless his plan. You know, that's often what we tend to do. We come up with an idea of what we think we should do, and then we say, "Okay, God, will you please bless me as I do this?" And yet that's not what Jesus says here that he does. He says, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And so Jesus here is essentially saying that I look for what I see the Father doing and I join him in it. And so if we know this idea that God is always at work around us, everywhere we look, we can find evidence of God's work, then in a sense we should be saying, okay, God, what are you doing and how can I join you in that? That's what Jesus did. That's what he explained to the, even to his enemies. He said, you know, this is my strategy. This is what I'm doing. This is how I live my life. And I believe as Christians, we need to follow Jesus' same strategy. We need to look for what God is doing because he's always at work around us. That's what Jesus is saying. And then join him in it. In John 14, Jesus makes it clear that this wasn't just something for him, but it's something for us to do as well. In John 14, verse 10, he says, "Don't you believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak by my own authority. Rather, it's the Father living in me who is doing his work." But Jesus goes further. He now talks about our pattern. He says, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." You know, in this passage, people love verse 14. "You may ask for me for anything in my name, and I will do it." And sometimes people talk about this as though God is some sort of a slot machine or a Santa Claus up in the sky, that we can just ask for anything and God will do it. But in the context of this, Jesus is explaining again this concept that he doesn't do what he wants. He wouldn't even be asking for what he wants. He wants to do the will of the Father. He wants to see God at work and join him in it. And then he goes on to say, that's what you're going to do. And so when Jesus says, you can ask me for anything in my name, what he's really saying there is, when you're striving to do God's will, when you are following and joining with what God is doing, then nothing is impossible for you. because God has determined in advance this is what's going to happen, and he's just using you as his instrument. And so we can know when we are joining God in his work that he's going to supply everything that we need, that he's going to give us the strength and the wisdom for each and every situation. It won't always feel like it. Sometimes situations God brings us into are scary, and we're even in the moment wondering if we're doing the right thing. And yet, God is providing what we need. And when we ask and say, oh God, help me, God is right there in those moments because we're doing what he wants us to do. You know, that's one of the reasons why I felt so comfortable coming here to Montreal, because I knew that it was where God wanted me to be. I had that sense of peace. There were lots of details. There were lots of concerns as we were trying to get the family moved here. And yet there was a peace that came because I knew that this is what God was calling us as a family, that where he was calling us to go and what he was calling me to do to become your pastor. And so I knew that whatever happened, that God was going to help us. He was going to give us the wisdom and the strength. And we could ask him for help and know that he would help us. And so I don't know what God is calling you to do today. And maybe you don't know either. But this is something that we need to start seeking. Jesus said this is how he operated. And if Jesus needed to look for what the Father was doing and not just do things according to his own idea, how much more do we need to be doing that? We need to be saying, Holy Spirit, you live inside of me. Direct me, guide me, give me wisdom. Help me to know what you want me to do today, who you want me to reach out to, how you want me to do my work, how you want me to treat my family. Whatever it is, we need to be seeking after God and his will in these moments. You know, when we do this, when we understand this concept, when we start living it out, it changes our lives. We begin to see God at work in new ways. And I believe that that increases our faith, and it makes it so much easier for us to see God at work around us. We start realizing how he works in sometimes little things, things that seem to be coincidences. But when you add them all up, we realize it's not a coincidence anymore. So why don't we see these things happening? Why don't we see God at work as much? Well, I think the first reason that we don't see God at work around us, and maybe even that you're not seeing God at work right now, is because we really aren't looking for him. We really aren't watching. And we're maybe so stressed and running around trying to fix everything ourselves that we're not asking God even to be involved in what we're doing. And I know for some of us that might be a little bit of an ouch moment today. But you know, when we feel an ouch, that's a great time to just say, oh God, yes, I've been worried, I've been running around. I'm sorry, God, I know where my focus needs to be. Help me, Lord. Help me to operate out of that quiet center. And I believe that God, he's so patient, he's so gracious and merciful that he just hears us and jumps right in to help us. And so it's not about us feeling guilty about what we've been doing in the past number of weeks. It's about us saying, okay, from today, I'm going to start a new pattern. I'm going to start looking for God at work. And you know, sometimes even when we see God at work in our lives, our response is more like, wow, that's neat, rather than saying, okay, God, I see you at work. What is it you want me to do in response to that? Because so often when we see God at work, yes, he wants us to give thanks and to praise him. But often he wants us to do something in response. He wants it to increase our faith. He wants it to help us to have the confidence to step out and maybe even take a risk now on his behalf, because he's directing us and we know that he's living and active in our lives. It's hard to take steps of faith if we don't see him at work. And so God helps us by making the first move. You know, he did that with salvation. He took the first move and showed us how much he loved us. He showed us his love maybe through other people or even through reading his word. Sometimes people are drawn to him. And we accepted him. But it doesn't stop there. He means for that to continue day after day, for us to recognize his provision. And I believe that we need to look at that in so many ways, in ways that other people just take for granted today. We need to say, you know, God, thank you for my health today. Thank you for the food that I have in my house. Thank you for the house that my food is in today. Thank you for the clothes that I have on my back. And you know, as we start to have this attitude of thankfulness, then we start to notice the things that are not just coincidences, you know, that God is starting to do, and they're not just things that we could provide for ourselves. We start to see the interactions that we have with people in different ways and say, you know, God, thank you for the opportunity you gave me to call that person today, or that they called me, or whatever it is. And I see how you're at work in my life because of my friendship with that person. You know, another reason our faith can be tenuous is because we don't really believe that God is at work today. We think that God at work, that's something rare and unusual. We doubt. And certainly, as I said earlier, you know, obviously supernatural miracles that other people will look at and say, wow, that's God, or that's, you know, I'm not sure what that is, but that's not normal. Those kind of things we don't necessarily see every day, the exciting things to just tell everybody about. But we should be seeing God at work in the little ways, the ways that non-Christians won't give much credence to, but we recognize, hey, that's God. That he's at work in my life. He's encouraging me. He's helping me, whether it's through family members or friends or through his word or through just something coming in the mail or whatever it might be, a video that we've seen, that God is using things to encourage us, and they're not just coincidences. At other times, we allow fear and shame to convince us that God couldn't possibly work through our lives. And so, of course, then we're not looking for the opportunities. We're not looking for him at work because we're assuming that God wants to be far from us. And yet, the Bible teaches us that God is never far from us. In fact, the psalmist wrote that no matter where he went on earth, he could never get away from God's presence. Whether he's on the mountaintop or down in the valley or hiding in a cave, God is with him. And while when we're not doing what God wants us to do, that can sometimes be scary, I think it should be reassuring to us to know that God is always with us. And even if we're experiencing fear and shame, we can bring them to him. In fact, that's what his word encourages us to do, and the example that we see in the Psalms so often. And you know, then there are times where we're not ashamed of our sin, but we're actually in rebellion. We're actually doing things that God doesn't want us to do. And we're maybe not even ready to give them up. And of course, in those times, we're not looking for God at work. We're trying to shove him away in our lives. And those are times when we have to turn in repentance and come back to him, but not allow the fear and the shame to continue to be a barrier, to recognize who we are in Christ, that we are his adopted sons and daughters, and that he loves us as our Father. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, so many times we're just too busy to notice what's going on around us, and so we don't see God at work. And so I believe today that if we want to see God at work, there are some things that we can do to help us. And the first thing is that we need to slow down and look for what God is doing. And I know that can be hard. If you're one of the people who you currently have a job, and probably the job is even a little bit harder because it's an essential service, and you know, there's more prep before and more prep after and more stress. If that's you, then me saying slow down is like, Pastor Jay, you have no idea what's going on. But you know, sometimes slowing down, it's not that we have to take hours, but sometimes it's just saying before your next shift, you know what, when I get to work, or maybe in the car or the bus on the way to work, I'm just going to take a moment and quiet myself and recognize that God is part of my day and say, God, would you help me? Help me not to run around like a chicken with my head cut off all day today, but instead to operate from a quiet center. Help me to notice that you're at work. And I believe that when we do that, that can transform our whole perspective in that shift at work. And of course, some of us are at home and we're unemployed right now. And it could be that our days are being taken up by reading about the latest COVID news, or maybe we're trying to avoid that and we're worrying, or I know that there are things that are taking longer. Just going to the grocery store takes longer than it used to. And yet, I believe it's so important that in the times of stress in our lives, it's doubly important that we take this time to slow down and to look for what God is doing. And as we do that, then we just need to give ourselves to God, to make ourselves available to Him, to say, God, if I see you at work, show me and help me to know how to join you. You know, as I think about that, there's a quote from D.L. Moody. And some of you may know that name as a famous preacher and evangelist, but D.L. Moody was actually a shoe salesman. That was his primary profession as an adult. But one day he heard someone give this challenge. And that challenge is, the world has yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in a man or a woman who is fully and wholly consecrated to Him. And D.L. Moody heard that, I think, in a sermon, and it just got into his heart. And he decided, well, if the world has yet to see a person like that, I'm going to be that person. And of course, we know that Jesus was that person. But in a sense, in this generation, the world has yet to see a person so fully given out to God. And I'm trying to do that. I hope that you're trying to do that. But I think we need to be freshly challenged today as we slow down, as we look to see what God is doing, to say, God, I'm a man, I am a woman who is fully and wholly consecrated to you. And I believe that God is, you're going to do with and for and through and in me awesome things. And as we do that, as we make ourselves available, I believe that God is going to do that. They may not be awesome things that the whole world hears about someday, like we hear maybe about D.L. Moody in our history books. But God will still do awesome things. Things that when we get to heaven someday, we'll see other people who will say, you know what, you didn't even know, but this is the difference that that made in my life. Henry Blackaby, the author of Experiencing God, talks about when the church he was leading had been trying for 2 years to get a ministry started in a local university without success. And one morning, he felt challenged to just give the issue to God. And as he did, he felt that he needed to challenge the students in the church. And so he challenged a few of them to go to school this week and to look for what God is doing and to just join him. And he talked about the scripture that says, you know, no one comes to the Father except that the Spirit draw them. And he said, you know, if somebody asks you a question about God or what the Bible has to say, that's always a sign that God is at work, because nobody does that naturally. It's always a response to the Holy Spirit drawing them. And so if somebody asks you a question, that's God at work, and you need to drop everything and pay attention and say, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? Well, at least one of those students took him seriously. And she went to university that day. And sure enough, one of her friends said, are you a Christian? Because I've been reading the Bible a little bit lately, and I have a question. And she stopped, and she gave her best stab at trying to explain the question that this person had about the Bible. And then the person said, you know, is there anybody who could help us? Because actually, I've been getting together with 11 other girls here at university, and we've been talking about the Bible, but none of us are Christians, and we don't really know what we're doing. And Henry Blackaby said, you know, she came back and said, look what God is doing. And they started establishing groups, and within a very short period of time, they had 5 small groups meeting on that university campus. For 2 years, they'd been trying to get something started with no success. And once they said, God, what are you doing? How can we join you in it? God provided the opportunity, and in a matter of days, they saw this whole ministry launch, and God did amazing things in their congregation and in the university in that town. We need to be looking for how God can work through us. D.L. Moody, as he offered his life to God, God used him, and he became one of the greatest evangelists of his generation. So often, we're not looking for those open doors. And you know, the open doors don't always look like huge things. You know, for that girl at university, it was just a question about the Bible. In the last church I was at, one older gentleman felt that God was simply putting a burden on his heart for seniors. And so he started asking God and saying, God, you know, what do you want me to do about seniors? Am I supposed to help drive them to the hospital? Or you know, what do you want me to do? And over time, he just felt like God was placing a burden on his heart to go visit people in seniors' homes. And so he started doing that. And as he did, one of the people in the seniors' home, when he was just visiting random people and encouraging them and reading scriptures and that kind of thing, somebody said, hey, do you know anyone who could help us to start a service? Because there's so many people in the seniors' home who would love to worship, but they can't get out to church anymore. And he wasn't a singer, he wasn't a preacher, he wasn't comfortable with the upfront stuff, really. He was more of a one-to-one guy. But he said, you know what, I'll go and I'll ask my pastor about that. And he talked with me, and we started setting up a team. And before you knew it, there were 20 people who were going into 5 different seniors' homes and ministering to people and having little services in those homes for them and encouraging them. And God used a man who couldn't sing, didn't know how to preach, or even necessarily wanted to teach a lesson, but God used him and opened his eyes to what he was doing, and he joined God in that work. And God made it far bigger than that man could ever have imagined. Another woman in our congregation felt that God was encouraging her to volunteer in the community. I remember actually early on, in that time, that she actually asked me, you know, do you think that this is a good idea, what I'm doing? And I was like, go for it. You know, that's great that God has given you this open door. And she was volunteering and helping out at various events. And, you know, the more that people saw her heart to serve and the love that she had for people, the more that they started to say, hey, you know, we need to ask this person. We need to get her involved in some more of our events and help us to see how we can reach out and make an impact in the community. And these weren't even Christians. And soon enough, it happened that whenever the city of Pickering wanted to do something special in the community, invariably they would call her up and ask her what she thought they should do. And she really almost became an advisor to the city and a go-to person for them. And God used that to open so many doors for her for ministry. And so I want to challenge us today. How is God wanting to use you? It won't necessarily always be in church ministry. Right now, we can't gather in the church building at all. And so church ministry is really curtailed. And yet, I believe God is at work. And if we want to experience him, if you want to get excited again about what God is doing in your life, the best thing that we can do is to start looking around us and saying, God, what are you doing? And we need to ask God to help us to notice people, because most times the way that God is working is in people's lives. That's really what God wants to do. He wants to draw all people to him. And it's people that God wants us to reach. And so the best place to start so often is for us to just look at the people around us with new eyes, to say, God, how do you want me to encourage this person? How do you want me to help this person? How do you want me to point this person towards you? Would you show me? Would you give me the words? Not to manipulate things, to try to always give a gospel message. Sometimes people, their relationships don't foster very well because they're so awkward about sharing the gospel. But Lord, how would you help me to reach into this person and just share the hope that I have in a really relatable way that they would understand and acknowledge that you're at work in my life too? I don't know how many times that God has just placed a person on my heart. Maybe it was a neighbor. Maybe it was a person at church. Sometimes it was a family member. I remember one time it was somebody I hadn't even seen in several years, and God put them on my heart, and I kind of thought that was weird and just put them out of my mind. But God kept bringing that person back until I just kind of had to do something about it. I prayed for them, and it didn't feel like that was enough, and so I wrote them a letter. And God used that in their life. And I was so thankful afterward that I had obeyed the Spirit's prompting. And so I want to encourage us today. We just need to ask the Spirit and say, if we want to experience more of God in our lives, we need to ask him and say, God, would you just show me someone that I can reach out to in some way and help me to be faithful to do it in your wisdom. You know, Jesus in John 15:5 said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And of course, Jesus didn't literally mean you could do nothing. We can do so many things. But essentially, he's saying nothing of eternal value will happen until you join yourself to me, until you follow in my footsteps. And so I want to encourage us today. Let's ask God to guide our response to him, to use us to reach out in our personal life, in our work, in our family, in our community, in our church, in our nation. And I believe that as we start looking for God at work all around us and start looking for opportunities to join him in that work, that God is going to do awesome things in us. We need to continue to say, you know, God, please help me to see what you're doing and give me the boldness to join you in doing it. Oh, that's my prayer. And I hope that that's your prayer today. This morning, in response to the word of God, in the response to what God is calling us to do, we're going to sing a song. It's a song we've sung many times before, inviting God to come live in us, to take over, to show us his way. And I want to encourage you, if God has been challenging you today, maybe even placing a face or a name in your mind, that we need to respond. More important than singing the words on the screen is to say, yes, God, I'm going to do what you're calling me to do. Or maybe you don't know exactly what God wants you to do, to say, Lord, yes, I just want to do what you want me to do. Show me what you want me to do. Show me the person you want me to reach. And I believe that God will speak to us. God will show us. And so as Faith Ann leads us in this song, can we just open our hearts to the Spirit? Can we express our commitment to him to follow in his ways this morning? Lord, today we invite you to live in us, to have your way in us. And God, we know that one of the ways that you do that is by opening our eyes to the ways that you're at work all around us. So God, we pray today and we invite you, open our eyes. Help us to see you at work all around us. Lord, help that to build our faith so that we will be able to step out in obedience, even when you call us to do something that seems a little bit scary to us, whether it's big or small. Lord, you know how we struggle sometimes just to even share with someone about what you're doing in our life. And so, God, we pray today that you would embolden us as we see you at work, God, to join you in that work, to reach out to the people around us, and to trust that you're going to provide us the wisdom and the strength to do what you're calling us to do. And God, we believe that as we do that, just as we've been singing, that we'll be able to soar like eagles, that things that you're just going to do amazing things through us, and it's going to become easier and easier as we recognize that we're doing it in your strength, in your wisdom, as you enable us, and not just in our own wisdom and our own strength that fails us so often. Lord, we're so glad that no matter what we've done in the past, that we can always come to you and start afresh and anew. And so, Lord, I pray today even for those who are watching and they're feeling discouraged. They've tried to follow after you, and yet they fall down, they fail so often. Lord, we're all like that, really. And so we just come to you today. And we repent for the ways we've fallen short in the past. And we commit our future and our present moment to you and say, God, have your way. Make us new creations in you. And Lord, we believe that that's what you're going to do. That you're going to recreate us in your image, step by step, day by day, as we follow after you. And so God, hope rises in our hearts today that you are going to do an amazing thing in our community, in our family, in our nation, as we, your church, rise up to do what you're calling us to do. Thank you, God. Thank you for what you're already doing. We look forward to what you're going to do in and through us. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.